And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Tuesday, September 23rd. Temperatures outside in the 70s across the area. And it's going to be another beautiful day today with highs topping off in the low 80s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And what a great day out there, Bridget. Hopefully you've had at least a little chance to get outside. If not, then head outside shortly after we're done here. It's gorgeous out.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I mean, as weather-wise, yeah, folks are excited to see a little bit of sunshine right now. We know that that's drying out some fields to the north of us because we're going to want to see harvest progress before too terribly long. And there are some combines rolling. Some of our soybeans were early maturing and have turned. Those are going. We're getting dry edible beans out of the field. So progress is being made.
Yeah, and we've got some nice weather continuing that's going to continue, I should say, not only for this week, but it looks like to round out the month, we've got some dry weather to end the month of September. So we're looking at sunny skies through the – I mean, this is a simple forecast. Sunny skies, dry conditions, light winds through the rest of the week. Today will be the warmest day with highs in the low 80s, and then the rest of the week we're looking at upper 70s, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then as we head into the weekend, NDSU homecoming this weekend, and I'll tell you what, the weather couldn't be better. We're looking at mid-70s on Saturday, upper 70s on Sunday, and then we start October next week. Now we'll wind up the end of the month here. Next week in the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. So a nice stretch of about 10 days of dry weather. Now, as we start off the month of October next week, it's going to start off on a dry note and mild. And then we're going to see a slight pattern change, not to a wet one, but to kind of a more roller coaster ride after about the 3rd or 4th of October. As we see storm systems race across southern Canada, we warm up ahead of it, cool down behind it. So that's what I mean kind of by that roller coaster ride. But I'm still not seeing a lot of precip even through the first month of October. So that's good news in terms of weather. And this forecast has been brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. It doesn't get much better than this for harvest time, Bridget. Like you said, we're going to continue to dry things out. A win-win, I would have to say, for most of us.
I would say it absolutely is. And even if you wanted to hang some things on the wash line, you're trying to get some fall cleanup done, those pesky Asian lady beetles are out there, and they might get caught up in your wash. Well, instead of you worrying about it, go to the new Coral Laundromat. They're our studio sponsor, and they'd love to have your business. They've opened at 3620 Veterans Boulevard, and because ag is dirty, they can help you make it a whole lot cleaner. We are joined today by our cybersecurity superhero, Chris Sherman. Chris sent me some notes in advance, and Dean, I emailed them to you, and hopefully you had a chance to see these as well, that there has been a recent security breach with Dairy Farmers of America. Chris, do you want to give us a little background on that? I think it's a good time to get folks to remember why we got to be better and secure.
Absolutely. So actually, back in June of this year, Dairy Farmers of America was hit by some ransomware, and it was from a group called Play Crypt or Play Ransomware. And essentially what they did was they got into their system and they held all of their accounting files, their tax files, payroll records, all of that stuff was held for ransom. And then they basically shut down their manufacturing side of their facilities. But the thought here is that how did they get in, and what, you know, what kind of implications that has on producers. And so, you know, there was a period of time after this attack that there were scheduling issues, trucks were held up, deliveries were held up, and there was a lot of disruption to the industry in that regard.
And Chris, did they get into anything else that DFA should be worried about?
I mean, at this point, you know, I would anticipate that their investigation is still ongoing. And so, you know, the extent of what they got is kind of largely unknown at this time. The other thing is that we will probably never know exactly how much they got. It's not wise for anybody to divulge exactly what they know. You don't want your, you know, I mean, really, it's that idea of you don't want your enemies to know what you know, right? And so if it is a lot worse than you know, we know, then that's something that, you know, DFA is probably going to keep to themselves and you know, to the authorities. But at this time, what we do know is payroll, accounting, and tax files.
Mm. tell you what, the thing that worries me out of that is this is a perishable product. And so just the, for the period of time when plants can't operate, milk trucks have to be rerouted, schedules are delayed. That's a loss for both the dairy producer as well as for the operation of DFA.
Absolutely.
And I think that's probably the thing that scares me more than anything is we see these attacks happening on more processors all the time. Correct, Chris?
We see them happening on processors. We see it happening in dairy farms themselves, poultry farms, anything that has animals that are, you know, are climate sensitive. You know, poultry farms is a great example. You know, we were visiting with a turkey farm, and they were talking about, you know, the chicks have to be held between 95 and 98 degrees at all times. And so, you know, taking that facility hostage and dropping those temps, those animals can die in a very short amount of time. If you think about dairy robotics and the size of milking operations that we have today, we don't physically have the manpower to handle those herd sizes. And so, you know, if servers are held for ransom and equipment is basically locked down, we're facing herd loss in a very short amount of time. And yes, in regards to the manufacturing, all of these products, you know, whether it's fruit, whether it's, you know, milk or, you know, meat or any of these products, you know, they do have a shelf life. And unfortunately, you know, if we're held up, then, you know, then that product is, you know, is probably facing spoilage very quickly.
And Chris, what else do farmers and producers need to take away from this, this DFA cyber attack?
So the one thing that I really, really want to impress upon the listeners today is, you know, is the idea of like herd inoculation and, or herd immunity. What we have seen, and we have seen this actually within our organization, one of our clients, they were breached. As we went through the forensics investigation, it was turned up that it was actually the insurance company that was the cause of the breach. So the hackers got in through the insurance company and then down into the customer database. And what we're actually seeing is where, you know, whether it's co-ops or dealerships, anybody that has, you know, working relationships with these end users, these end customers, if the end users and the end customers do not have protection, they're creating a vulnerability to those organizations. So let's say your neighbor, you know, downloads some malware or spyware, and they realize, the attackers realize that they have a co-op that they're working with. They can actually infiltrate and go back up into that co-op and actually gain access to where the real money is, so to speak, where the prize is. We are seeing that happening significantly more frequently, and that's becoming kind of a top of mind priority for co-ops and other organizations, is to make sure that, you know, their vendors, their customers, everybody is acting, you know, securely, and that they have the appropriate security, simply because if somebody is able to access their customer, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to where the real money is.
Chris, one thing I want to impress upon folks who are listening, you are welcome to give us a call on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000, to pose your questions to Chris or to any of our guests throughout the day today. And that's very important. Again, that's JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. But additionally, Chris, I got an email this weekend that said software support for Windows 10 is soon to close, and I won't be getting security updates and so forth. Could that be a potential liability, if you will, in this whole chain, where if my security falls apart and I overlook that email, suddenly I'm the vulnerable point to get back into some of these other systems, whether it's with vendors that I use, other people's emails, etc.?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, Windows 10 and Windows 11, this is kind of a hot button topic for a lot of people. We're not entirely sure if this is more of a push to get people to update their computers and to buy new systems. But what we do know is that, you know, I think it's October that, you know, Windows 10 will no longer be supported and they will not be putting out security patch updates and that sort of thing. So yes, those systems will be at a significantly heightened vulnerability. And it is wise to either update to Windows 11 or get a new device that's already Windows 11 compliant. And again, that also plays back into, you know, I think we're seeing about approximately 5 to 7 little updates every week on Windows 11, but those are in real time security patch updates. And so as those, you know, threats have been, you know, identified and patches have been created, they're, you know, they're pushing it back to the end user immediately. And that is really what is keeping everybody a lot more secure, is the real time, you know, threat detection and response.
Chris, thank you so much for the time today. I know it's been short, but you're going to be back in October with us as a regular feature. And I want to encourage listeners, if you have questions, you are certainly welcome to send emails, ag@flagfamily.com, and we'll pose those to Chris because we want to hear from you. What are the things that you are concerned about or have been seeing? Don't forget to send us those little updates, if you will. Before we head to the American Ag Network's Livestock Market Report, do want to give everybody a reminder that you have the chance to nominate a first responder who could win a pair of tickets for a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena on September 27th. One very lucky first responder will be selected. Thank you to Schmidt's Gems of Fargo, as well as Shields Arena. And Schmidt's is your diamond destination. Go to our website, WDAYRadioNow.com, to register, and a winner is going to be selected tomorrow. Ooh. So you don't have a lot of time. Get that done. Send me your questions for Chris Sherman. He's our cybersecurity superhero from Tech Support Farm, and we'll be right back after the market. Oh, and that is the kickoff to our segment today with Brad Olstead. He is with the Stuffist Group for On the Auction Block. Brad, I have curiosity about when people are bringing equipment to you at Stuffist Group for sale and there are liens on it, how does that all get taken care of? Or is that your responsibility? Is it the responsibility of who currently owns the piece of machinery? What can you do as Stuffist Group to help sort that out?
Well, that is a very, very good question. And it all starts with your sales representative. Those questions have to be asked at contract signing. Finding out basically if there's a purchase money secured contract either with John Deere Credit or CNH Capital, or if it's a blanket lien with a local lender. And transparency is everything. And when you get that information up front, we always trust but verify at Stuffis. We do a UCC where we get to go check and make sure that everything that they're telling us is correct. And also we get to find out and have to get permission from the seller as far as payout information in regards to some of those purchase machine contracts. And when you get into times of difficulty in production ag, those get to be very significant issues that we have to address because we have to guarantee free and clear title when we sell equipment.
Oh, I would imagine so. And you used a term there that I don't know. UCC, what is that?
Universal commercial code, and where you go into, say, it's basically a security agreement that lenders use. When you go in for a loan application, those documents are all recorded. So we get to, as an auction company, go in and check those recordings. Sometimes when you have these large entities that are involved in multiple counties, multiple states, they're a very useful tool to find out the paper trail. And in regards to, say, for instance, if there's a Chapter 11 or something like that, we get to find out priority as far as who gets paid first, second, third, if there's any money left over. But basically what it does is it lets the auction company off the hook. If we don't do that and we send the check to the seller and the seller does not pay off the creditor, they come back to the auction company and guess who gets to write the check?
Oh, boy, that's some liability. Okay, good point. I have a listener text message asking, does farm equipment have a VIN number like a passenger car?
Farm equipment usually has a serial number. Now, sometimes the vintage of the farm equipment, some of the serial number plates are accidentally or through field use or livestock use or whatever get taken off. When we are out doing listing of farm equipment, we always try to get a serial number. Serial number is very beneficial. It gets to see when the production year that it was made. Also, if there's any type of things that come into play, like if there's a product improvement or things like that, we can verify and make sure that that is done. But it does.
Yeah, and Brad, a recent study showed that "quote unquote" bad actors—they're trying to target farmers and take advantage of them when they're seeking a good deal and used equipment market. What should we look for? Any tips for kind of avoiding a messy situation there?
What I always encourage people, if it's too good of a deal, it's too good of a deal, and there's something that, you know, that should raise flag number one. The other thing is that if it's a long distance and say, for instance, no disrespect to equipment that's sold in Texas or Louisiana or Arkansas, but when it gets shipped up here, always get a serial number. I always recommend running a check and finds out, it'll share that information as far as who owned the tractor, how many times was it bought and sold, and if all of the product improvements have been done on it. And if some of those things get to be a little sketchy and it's not, the serial number is basically missing, I would really have a concern about that, because there could be somebody out there that took that and it wasn't theirs to take, got it on a semi, and 18 hours later it's a long distance away. Somebody unsuspecting then would say, okay, I'll buy this piece of equipment, write them a check, and all of a sudden they get 2 weeks later, hey, that's my tractor. It was sitting down here in Texas, and I want my tractor back. And that gets to be an issue. Now, that's a war story, but it is happening. And when people get backed up against the wall, those things come up.
Do you see that happening more and more over like the last five years?
No, not necessarily, but it is out there. Right. And when you have production agriculture having down cycles, that's when it rears its ugly head. It just truly does.
So many farms have either an excavator, backhoe, payloaders, et cetera. So more what's thought of as construction type equipment, but Steffes deals in all of that market as well. And let's say I'm in the market for a nice little backhoe, but I want to check the maintenance records. Do you track those down, Brad? Should I be going to the seller to make sure I can find those records, et cetera? What's my best course of action?
Well, we pride ourselves at Steffes to be actively engaged in working with the seller, because a caring seller makes for a caring buyer. All right. So if we do our due diligence at Steffes, so Mr. Seller, do you have any history, work orders, anything on this piece of equipment, tractor, loader, backhoe, excavator, things like that? And they say, yes, I got complete maintenance records. It's been here. I've owned it for 10 years. I got maintenance records going back 10 years. Previous owner, I don't know, but this is what I have and this is what we promote. And then we also try to get copies of those records. And when we go into our lot photos, if we have good legible copies of those work orders, we will publish those, because there again, trust but verify. We load up those work orders, so then a caring seller makes for a caring buyer. The buyer gets to look at those records, backs up what the auctioneer is talking about, backs up what the seller's talking about, and gives peace of mind when you're buying equipment 4, 5, 6, 7 states away.
Brad, I love when you come in for the on the Auction Block segment, because your years of experience and understanding of this market and how to best handle these questions it's just extensive. And thank you so much for doing it when you come in and join us.
That's awful nice. I enjoy being here as well.
Thanks so much, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care.
Thanks. All right. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour news, but a reminder from Codeco Fuels, who is one of our Here We Grow sponsors, as these days get shorter, and they are, even though the air isn't quite as crisp as Dean was talking about earlier, harvest is coming and you need that fuel partner you can count on. Check things out at Codeco Fuel and Propane, particularly if you need to be looking for transports of fuel or bulk oils. And then also Ellingson. Ellingson Company has been one of our sponsors as well. And they are not just installing tile, but maintaining, service, repair, locating tile installation and design. And they can also help you in small communities with pumps and lift stations, remote monitoring, even wetland banking. Give them a call or check them out at ellingsoncompanies.com. We'll be back after the news. One of these days, Addison's going to come bring us back in from commercial a little too soon. He's going to catch me singing all of the jingles for our commercials on the commercial break.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that, though.
Yep, that's me. All right. September has been a big promotion for us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. We have been talking a lot about the fact that September is Suicide Prevention Month. And we know that there is a heavy amount of pressure on our farmers, our ranchers, and just the rural communities in general. We have been very fortunate to partner with companies like Prairie St. John, Valley Christian Counseling, Gowan USA, and Maple River Grain and Agronomy to bring this focus and a more of a spotlight for many in the area. Joining us today is Alex Richards. Alex is with Maple River Grain and Agronomy. They are a full-service operation, primarily in Castleton, but several other locations, on grain, fertilizer, seed, agronomy. Alex, what am I missing for your services as well as your locations?
Well, we span really from Rosse, Minnesota, all the way west, close to Valley City, out by Peak, and do a lot of custom application, fertilizer, chemical sales, grain receiving, lots of precision ag options there too, along with fertilizer. So
what are you seeing in your farmers as they're coming in these days as far as stressors that you realize are very concerning?
So I guess what we've seen kind of firsthand is obviously with kind of depressed commodity markets, having a tough time trying to change up what we've done in the past. A lot of times we've seen, you know, we're going into soybean harvest here this week, and we've seen that being kind of a cash crop and with the market where it's currently at. And I know a lot of people know about the trade war and with soybeans not really having too many homes on the export market. It's put us in a little different scenario price-wise. We have a kind of a lower futures market along with a kind of a depressed basis right now. That's making it tough to make farmers very profitable, that's for sure.
And question, why we had a listener email us asking why they chose to support this campaign.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of things right now in the ag sector, it's kind of tough all the way from the farm gate, you know, all the way through, just with farmers not being very profitable, and it makes us tough to service them. And try to get through this. We know that there is a lot of stress on this. We have heard of some farmers that have taken it really hard. We've talked to, you know, plenty of them that I guess we just try to get them through the day. We have seen that here in the recent past. So.
And Alex, is there any? I mean, I know there's a lot of signs we should look for. Are there any, like, telltale signs to watch out for?
I guess I would kind of say, you know, knowing your customer, you know, as we talk to farmers or your, you know, relative or significant other, look for changes. You know, that's probably the big thing. I would say, you know, just having conversations is probably the biggest thing on talking about how to get through some tough times in the ag economy. And, you know, that's going to involve talking to your bank and hopefully your service providers as you move forward. But I always like to say it's always darkest before dawn. So I know this kind of seems like a lower point in the ag economy, but we hope that we can kind of be a little hopeful that things turn around here in the near future.
Boy, Alex, that's a great point. And I actually have in front of me a list of some of those items, just what you were talking about. What are some of those warning signs? Isolation, especially if someone was previously very social. Mood changes, abrupt sales and equipment, altered sleep patterns, unpaid bills. You know, you may see folks that are trying to avoid Main Street because, as Alex can attest to, this is a time of year where it's a bit of a cash flow crunch for farmers. And they're sort of looking for what are things that we could be doing to get some dollars flowing? Because it's not so easy when the checkbook's empty and people are still sending bills. So you're probably seeing some of that, correct, Alex? I mean, in this time frame of the year anyway.
I would assume so. And we kind of go into fall fertilizer application, and some guys are planning for, I'd say most guys are planning for next year and trying to figure out where that goes. And at times it might be some tough conversations, but you know, we gotta try to get through it together is probably the biggest thing, and working with our customers and farmers in general, just trying to get them through. So,
You know, Alex, I really want to say thank you to Maple River Grain and Agronomy for wanting to be a part of raising the awareness of not just for the month of September, but throughout the winter months. We're looking at facing some very critical times where folks don't always do well with their mental health in the winter. And certainly as we look at what's happening in this economy, that's definitely going to be a factor. The reason to make sure to say thank you is because we got a listener comment yesterday that I wanted to share. And it was a thank you for all of you as sponsors. And again, that's yourself, Prairie St. John, Gowan USA, you are Maple River Grain and Agronomy, and Valley Christian Counseling. And our listener, Jeff, said he heard us mentioning this and goes back to 1984. His dad died by suicide at age 42. And he said, we know that this is a real challenge at that time as well as now. And this gentleman has been in the farm equipment industry for about 45 years. He said, I think there's a lot of younger farmers that have not seen the challenging times nor maybe planned for a turndown in the economy. And so, Alex, do you have some advice? I've heard you say, you know, this is the darkest before the dawn, but to some of those younger farmers that might really be feeling stressed out, any advice as a guy who's been in the grain business for a while?
You know, I guess the biggest thing we can kind of look back on is we have seen this before. You know, we're talking about this particular trade war, especially with soybeans in China. I think going back to 2018-19, and we're starting to hear a lot of chatter through some of the legislators about potential payments coming. So I think that. You know, they're obviously not guaranteed, but there's a lot of talk of that. China has done a very good job in a trade war of putting farmers on the front lines, essentially, and that's what we're seeing right now. And in the past, 2018, 2019, we saw some pretty decent payments come through the Market Facilitation Program, MFP. So that's something that is in, I've heard in discussions here lately. So maybe that's a little bit of a hope that we could see that coming to kind of hopefully heal up some financial positions of some farmers that might help a lot, actually.
I think it would help a lot, too. And, you know, for your staff, do you do some training with folks to look for the signs of stress, anxiety or depression in each other as well as in your customers, your farmers who might be coming in the door? Or is that something that maybe you would think about adding to what you do for employee training there at Maple River Grain?
You know, in the past couple months, we have had those discussions in-house with some of our sales teams, and we have talked a little bit about what would be something that would be actionable if somebody said something or, you know, made a comment or, you know, and how we would go ahead and deal with that. So yes, having a plan with that, and essentially bringing it up the ladder here to try to, you know, help out if we do see a need somewhere. So yes, we have had those conversations, with our sales staff for sure. And if something does come up like that, then we kind of have to try to work with it on a case-by-case basis. So,
do you think that the stigma surrounding discussions about mental health is dropping, that people are more apt to want to talk now, Alex, and whether share the position that they are in or try to reach out and help somebody else?
That's a good question. If you look at the kind of the standpoint of farmers are very generally very proud in what they do, you know, they're very proud people. They take pride in what they do, and sometimes mental health can kind of get in the way of mental health at times if they try to keep everything balled up inside and not talk to somebody about it. I think that does happen more often than it should. That's for sure. And sometimes just got to have a conversation with somebody just to kind of see how their day's going, or, you know, just to get through that day if you have that kind of a tough day.
Alex, this has been super helpful, and I hope a lot of your business clients are listening. I know that you mentioned you have sites in as far east as Rothsay and Barnesville, Minnesota. For folks who are over there, they should know that Minnesota Farm and Rural Helpline is 833-600-2222. 2670, or you can simply text Farm Stress to 898211. And if folks miss this as we talk about it, I am happy to answer your emails, ag@flagfamily.com, to help with that. Also, Minnesota has 3 ag mental health specialists, and I have their direct phone numbers that I'm willing to share with folks who might need them. Again, that's strictly in Minnesota, but for those of you who are in other states, you can look at the AgriStress Helpline. That number is 833-897-2474. And of course, in serious crisis, always call the suicide hotline at 988. Alex, thank you for Maple River Grain and Agronomy sponsorship of this highlight of suicide awareness in September.
Absolutely. We're really glad you did it and glad to participate.
All right.
All right, folks, go check them out in Castleton.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Alex, for joining us today. When we come back, we're going to have a recap on this weather and let you know how long this dry stretch and warm stretch is going to last. That and Bridget's got a couple of ag topics to hit on as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a nice one out there for most of us, but not for all of us. We're sitting at 80 degrees right now here at the studio. But you go up in the far northern valley from Grand Forks and northward, temperatures in the upper 60s. That's due to some lingering fog that's had a hard time burning off as we've had through the early afternoon. That will slowly burn off, though, for the rest of the afternoon. But it'll be a good 10 degrees cooler this afternoon in the far northern valley like it is now compared to the rest of us. We'll top out in the low 80s today, and as we head into the rest of the week, a few degrees cooler with highs in the upper 70s with dry conditions all the way through the weekend. It looks and even into early next week, Bridget, I don't see any chance for precip until the middle or end of next week. And even that doesn't look that impressive. Just a few scattered showers by late next week. So great news for harvest. Great news for anybody that wants to do anything outdoors. But we are seeing some signs of winter trying to rear its ugly head. Winter weather advisories are in effect, and it's for the upper elevations of northern Colorado, Keystone, Steamboat, those upper elevations there. But that's just a sign that, you know, this nice weather, it's not going to last forever. We all know that. But boy, you know, a good 10 to 14 day stretch of dry weather this time of the year, that's, boy, you couldn't ask for much more than that. Especially after
those winter weather.
I was going to say, especially after the rain that we had. I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, those winter weather advisories, they're in ski regions. People want a really nice snowpack for that anyway, so let them have it.
No doubt, no doubt.
Now, as we are planning ahead for 2026's growing season, which we are as we are approaching harvest for 2025, we see that Syngenta is bringing to market the notion and going to be doing further work and testing on a new product trait line. And by that, I mean it will be a stack of herbicide resistant traits in the soybean. They're partnering with MS Technologies to create this new package. It will likely be in the market in 2029, but some of the discussion and data package work on it for EPA is taking place right now. If we in fact see this come to fruition, again, I mentioned 6 different modes of action for herbicides. And so that would include glyphosate, glufosinate, 2,4-D choline, mesotrione, bicyclopyrone, and isoxaflutol.
Say that quickly.
Isoxaflutol. Yeah, I had all the other 5, and then I got to that one. But this is a potential stack that could be coming out again. It's not till 2029, so there's still plenty of work to be done in those EPA packages. And I do want to remind folks that when it comes to new herbicide packages, first of all of those active ingredients already exist in the marketplace. There is not a new mode of action that's being brought forward or being considered in that stack. Now, in order to bring a product to market, like we talked about last Friday with Cindy Smith from Gowan USA, it's a 10 to 12 year time frame until all of the research is done, all of the data is proven, and it's submitted to the EPA, and it follows all the guidelines of FIFRA, which is the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. Under those rules, things are very well thought out. Now, the Center for Food Safety, which I would consider a thinly veiled environmental group, they have filed a motion in federal court that they want the EPA to vacate the registrations for Enlist One and Enlist Duo. Vacation of registration has happened in the past, and it's not a positive. It's really a terrible precedent to set because it means that we're ignoring what's already in federal law in order for the court to make a decision. And oftentimes that decision is based on emotion, not science. And so even though this has been a filed motion for the vacation of that registration, I feel like we've been down this road. I want to see our companies and commodity groups stand together to prevent these types of things from happening and creating, again, that new designation in the market that this can take place. Now, Corteva AgriScience, who is in fact the production company for Enlist One and Enlist Duo, which is contains a 2,4-D choline, they have been granted intervener status to the legal challenge. So that means that they are not the original party in the lawsuit, but they are allowed by the court to become party to it to protect their best interests. So that's one of the things that's going on. EPA has until October 20th to file a response to the litigation. These things take time. There's no time that this has happened on a real quick timeline as well. And then additionally, Brazil, we hear lots about Brazil and their crop, and they are having quite a great weather situation because their equivalent of our USDA, that's called CONAB, they are projecting record soybean exports due to strong demand from China. Their corn crop right now is up not only 2% on its estimated yield from August, but 21% larger than last year. Oh. That's huge. That includes their second crop of 112 million tons, which is 25% above average over last year, and their harvest is nearly complete. If you take a look at the map of South America, look how long north to south the country of Brazil runs. Because of that, they can have a third cropping season. And that third cropping season right now is pegging their harvest at 2.7 million tons. That's up 9% from a month ago with a potentially 8.5% rise year on year. Again, soybeans, we're projecting big exports out of Brazil as well.
And that's not good news for us, obviously.
No, I realize this is very cruel to say, but frankly, we need a weather failure in Brazil so that our supply gets a better price and so right. that we can move the needle on that market. Mm. Truthfully, we oversupply the globe with corn and soybeans right now. Nobody wants to hear that. It's not nice to say. We have to do some things domestically in order to help our soybeans because around the globe, we have a declining population with some of our major countries like China, and we have strong concerns that they're not going to be buying from us because they've made such heavy investments into Brazil with infrastructure, roads, ports, and so much more. So there's a lot that is changing, particularly just in the last 3 to 5 years right. in that market.
And the tariffs aren't helping that either, unfortunately. Yeah.
None of this helps.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, for Bridget and myself, we want to thank you for joining us, but don't go anywhere. The number one show, not only in North Dakota, now just rated the number one show in his time slot across the USA, the Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next.